This podcast is presented by Steak Sauce Media. Grab a joint, drop the veil, and cruise the multiverse with the Chronic Gals.
Let me tell you a little something about the Chronic Gals. Just two best buds and the very best pals. Talking about cannabis, that good, that tree. So grab a joint and just spark with me. Hey!
Welcome to another episode of Chronic Gals Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Ashleen.
And welcome back to part three of A Histories of the Multiverse by Seth Lyon. A synopsis by the Chronic Gals.
A synopsis that is in three parts.
In three parts. Super long. Well, we have commentary.
Synopsis and it's discussion.
Like, yeah. If this was like written out in written form.
Oh, God.
It would be like our synopsis and then cliff note, like right. Our notes, our little thumbnails.
Yeah, it would be way longer than the actual book.
Yeah. So, anyway,
part we're going to get into part three.
Hopefully, you've either listened to parts one and two,
yeah,
or read A Histories of the Multiverse, because we're not going back.
No.
We can't.
We can't.
It's only forward from here.
But go back. You can. You can go back. You can still go back and listen to the first two parts. So please do.
We'll pause.
We'll wait.
Well, you can pause. You can pause it. We'll wait. Before we get into the text and before we get into smoking some fun joints, because we did get some fun joints for today.
We did.
I just want to... Okay, there's a couple bullet points in my brain.
Great.
Okay, number one. Why is trauma... and healing trauma is so important.
Okay.
I'm sharing the story that I shared earlier.
Oh, great. Okay.
I had a moment in time yesterday where I was talking to someone of the younger, youth of our world. And just really saw, like, what we're doing as elder millennials, mm-hmm, and the healing work that we do and how it's helping generations below us.
Yeah.
Because... if you actually spend time talking to somebody that's younger than you, especially like 16 to 20-year-olds right now,
yeah,
they are really, really smart.
They're really tapped in.
They're really, really smart. They have amazing ideas.
Mm-hmm. And perceptive.
And super perceptive.
Like, they know what's going on.
And they have the beauty of TikTok, of like micro lessons, mm-hmm, in things, so you can jump around to whatever you want to learn about. I think that is so valuable in this world of like, this is school and this is a box,
right,
and this is how you should learn, and clearly we're not learning that way,
right?
So it was just like, I feel that I'm doing the brunt of the healing work in a positive way. I know that statement sounds negative, but that is a positive statement, so that the younger generations can flourish in this world that we want to create, because
totally,
they are going to be the creators of this new world.
Right.
Like, we are watching it crumble and we have the connection to the past the way that they don't.
Right.
But we can like pull the gems from the past, hand them over to the younger generations and be like, run.
Right.
Run far.
Right.
And wide.
I think about that with my kids all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, half the reason that I'm doing any of my own healing, like, not only to like become the best version of myself that I can be, but it's so that my kids don't have to start from the same place that I started, and
yeah,
I can give them a leg up. And then like, what amazing things are they going to be able to come up with?
Exactly.
30 years from now.
Exactly.
When they are in their prime.
They're,
you know, like, this world is going to be completely different.
It's going to be so different. So if anyone is like, healing, trauma, what is that even? Why?
It hurts. You know, it's hard to look at it. It hurts.
Yeah.
You know, of course, yes, it hurts.
It hurts. But you healing yourself heals those around you. There's like, I don't know if Rumi said it or Gandhi. I don't know. Buddha. I don't know who said it. But it was like, if you meditate for 10 minutes, that meditation of 10 minutes like hits a mile around you, the people in a mile around you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you heal one thing, you heal for a bunch of people.
Right.
And I've seen it in my parents, in our parents. I've seen my healing journey like help them. I've seen my healing journey help our little brother,
mm-hmm,
and like other little brothers, you mm-hmm know, like. So if you are an elder millennial and you
or older
or whatever, or even young, and you are the one that has to deal with the trauma.
Yeah. If you're the curse breaker in your family.
Embrace that and be grateful for it, and just
You're strong enough to deal with it.
You are strong enough. You came to this planet to deal with it, and you are strong enough to handle it.
Totally.
And if you need help, we're only a DM away.
Totally.
A couple hours, because I don't get back to you on time. But, you know, like, we're here to help, and we're here to foster an environment of, like, growth and healing,
mm-hmm.
so that the younger generations don't have to go through the thick muck that we have
right,
to.
Right.
They can wade through the pseudo clean water.
Or they get to deal with a different muck.
Exactly.
You know, like, we're dealing with our corner of the muck, mm-hmm. and then nobody else has to deal with it.
Exactly.
Again.
They get to deal with different muck.
Right.
So I just wanted to, like, for anybody out there who's, like, really in it with the trauma and the energies right now are fucking wild.
So wild.
So crazy. So keep on keeping on. We love you. You're doing it. You're great. You're passionate and amazing. You're worth it. You rock. So I just had to say
that. Love that.
Number two. I think I forgot. So I'll skip to number three because that's the most important. This is my disclaimer for this episode.
Okay, great.
So the stuff that we're going to get into today is based on historical documents and photographs and, like, actual primary resources. However, it touches on a lot of, like, conspiracy theories that may, quote unquote, I'm doing, like, mad air quotes, may not be conspiracy, but we don't have enough real proof to prove them, but we do have proof, but no one wants to talk about the proof type of stuff.
And
I don't know.
The people in charge are pushing a different narrative.
Yeah. And there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation and, like,
what's real?
What funny things going on. So the stuff that we're going to talk about today may be a little bit sensitive. We may get triggered, like, hit
shadow banned
on YouTube. I don't think we're actually going to say any words. I don't know.
Who knows?
But I mean, there's 12 watchers on YouTube.
Right. But I mean, like, you say freedom now, and then it triggers the COVID thing on Instagram.
Well, now we're going to get a vaccine. Well, right. I mean,
yeah.
Now we're really going to get a vaccine.
One. Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah. So take it with a grain of salt. I realize what we've talked about the last two episodes has been, like, extra wild, but this stuff is, like, more recent history. If you've been paying attention to the conspiracy world for the past couple years, you will find red lines within this information that go back to other theories in the realm of conspiracy theory, which I hate that word.
I know.
I hate that word, but this is what we're going to use today. Because I'm not confident enough to argue against it, you know. I don't,
the word of conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
for sure.
I don't want anybody to come and be like, you're talking about conspiracy.
Yeah, right. But it's also like, are we?
Exactly.
Because again, I think we said this in the first part of this, but this has been coming up for me again. It's like everywhere I look these days, whoever is in charge, like, you see clear falsities in that they have said throughout their history. Like, for example, in the cannabis industry and the whole thing with fucking Harry Anslinger, like, the whole mm-hmm. drug war started because yes. this asshole wanted to keep the black community down.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's the narrative that has been told time and time again is not the narrative that makes any sort of sense. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the reason
I just doubt the mainstream narrative.
Yeah.
And so conspiracies are just, like, a little intriguing. And you're like, oh, that actually, those dots actually connect in a logical Occam's razor kind of way.
Way. Oops. Move that. yes. Yeah, I agree. So, yeah. So,
anyway.
Take it with a grain of salt. Run it through your own gut, influence, you know, your gut brain, your brain, your heart space. Take what you want. Leave what you want. Whatever. You know, it is what it is. We've been talking about weird shit for the last 6 hours, so right. It's fine. Oh my gosh, I have to adjust my sitting position. One last thing, just in case we forget to say it later, so this is part three. We are going to have a part four of this series of A History of the Multiverse. We will have that part four live. We're gonna do, like, a live Instagram on a date. We haven't figured out that date, so keep checking our Instagram for that invite. But we want to have a discussion with everybody who's listened to this these podcasts, have read the text, have ideas and thoughts and triggers and codes that have come through us talking about all of this stuff. So if you're interested in being in that conversation, I don't know, if you want to DM us, you can. So we can definitely send you an invite to that. It'll just be on Instagram Live. And I think we can like have a few different people up on the live with us. So we will do that. And it'll just be a really fun. I'm just excited to talk to other people about, you know, because we've talked about it and I've talked to Warren about it. And like, we all talk about this shit all the time. So I'm ready to hear at somebody else's point of view.
Yeah.
So that's coming in May.
Yay.
That's it.
Oh. Okay, so.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna let everyone listening know about this joint that I have. I think I was at the Herbary this week and happened to notice this Lion's Breath joint. It's Lion King by Breath Mints, an infused joint by Freddy's Fusions. Ooh. It's a brand of Freddy's Fuego, but
we're fans of Freddy's Fuego.
Love Freddy's Fuego.
They're out of Washoe.
Are they?
Did you tell me? I thought you told me that.
I don't know where. I think you told me that they were local. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't remember where they're from. But yeah, I've been obsessed with their Cake Cannabis, which is like one of their midlines. So good. So fantastic. Anyway, but I saw this one and it's called Lion's Breath. The author of this text, author/compiler. Historian, anthologer. His name is Seth Lyon, right? So I saw it and I was like, okay, Lion's Breath. We are speaking Seth Lyon's words. Obviously, we have to get that one. So here we are. Are you looking to see where Freddy's Fuego is located?
That's not a helpful map.
Yeah, no, that's just where you can buy them. A lot of farms don't tell you where because they just... For
I know, but I
reasons.
Thought that they were. Maybe I'm thinking of Bacon's Buds.
Bacon's Buds is in Washougal.
Maybe I'm thinking about that. Man, I thought that I knew where they were, but I guess I don't. Anyway, wherever you are, Freddy's Fuego, you rock. Thanks for doing great stuff. They also are the ones that do the cake joints. Did you say that?
I did, but okay. You can say it again because they're so good.
They are really good. You got that. Acai one, mm-hmm. And fuck, it was
I got
so
another
good.
One acai gelato, mm-hmm. Infused joint, yeah, it's so good. I've been buying their gooey tiramisu joints. Ooh. Like nonstop because they're so nice. This like a nice. Really good daytime afternoon break joint. Their Neapolitan Dream was an awesome like nighttime relaxy joint. There was another one.
It's like citrusy and piney and
yeah, it's really nice. Almost kind of like a sweet tarts, like that chalky, mm-hmm. Sweet chalkiness.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way at all.
That's nice. I'm like breathing through it. Do you do that? Does anybody else taste it through your nose to get like, because there's like taste receptors.
Right.
Like in through your nose. And so if you don't do that to get a better taste, go through your nose. Breathe through your nose and stuff, and then you kind of get it up in your...
Oh, you know what? It actually worked.
See?
Like, you can taste it, like, up in your sinuses, uh-huh. A little bit differently. Mm-hmm. That's kind of funny.
Is that fun? I also got breath work.
Oh, yeah, in line with Lion's Breath.
Yeah, from the Aloha Botanics, which I have been... I found these guys at the Herbary. They're pretty good.
Like them?
Yeah. I think they're, like...
Yeah, this is really tasty.
Hoop.
Oh, hoop. Hoop house.
If I could say hoop enough, someone
would. But like the greenhouse style with where like it's like on a hinge.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of like lift up the covering and put it back down. You get your greenhouse atmosphere.
With like real sun. Pretty
totally.
Nice.
Totally. Love that.
Yeah, that's super tasty.
Hell yeah.
Well, okay.
Should we jump into it?
Let's jump into it.
So where do we leave off? We left off at the rise of civilization as we know it.
Yeah. We left off when Atlantis fell. the Atlanteans and the Draco Reptilians. So the Draco Reptilians made their way into Atlantean society, was there at the fall of Atlantis, and then the survivors of the fall, which were many different types of people, but the main, I mean, like, some survivors were like Draco Reptilians,
Anunnaki,
so different types of, like, the people that were hanging out. The Cabal made its way through, like, Egyptian society, Greek society, ended up in Rome. That's why Rome was, like, the craziest warriors. They were, like, the blood-hungriest people. And then that's where the Vatican is.
Right.
Also is Rome.
Right.
So that's kind of where they just kind of, they, like, home base.
Yeah. Rome. And then you can kind of see, like, they, the Crusades happened and they started expanding into Europe, like, you know, Western to Europe. And then you get the Crusaders taking over the pagans and the Druids and stuff like that.
And, and the Islamic Empire, or the Ottoman Empire. I don't know. History gets hazy. But it's like,
the Ottomans were in Persia, and then you had the Mongols in China.
Yeah. And, like, the I mean, I can't speak on the Mongols, but there were folks from Mu, the Lumerian society, that went mostly towards the east, so, like, Asia. Mm-hmm. And then the Hebrews went to Israel. Other Nikal beings went to the Middle East area. A lot of Anunnaki and Dracos went to Egypt, but there was,
and
like,
then
the Maya
went to South America.
Yeah. And there were, like, two different, within each of these groups, there was, like, two different factions, like the goodies and the baddies.
High vibe and the low vibe. Yeah.
Because at this time, the Cabal has, like, gone up into everyone, has, like, gotten into everyone, and they operate in secret.
Right.
So it's, like, secret societies. It's not out in the open.
Right.
Everybody, like, and at this point, aliens were, like, a thing. Human, homos, oh, there was a, oh, I remembered my point, too.
Oh, good.
Okay, point two. Sorry. I don't remember if I said this in the last episode, but humans and Homo sapiens are two different things.
We did talk about this a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to recap for the people who are just hopping in.
Thanks.
Right. Why? Go back. But humans are star beings. Homo sapiens are star beings plus Homo erectus from Earth. So Homo sapiens.
Human DNA exists throughout the galaxy.
Yes.
But Earth humans are human DNA, like galactic human plus Earth ape.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
You know, exactly. Respectfully to the Homo erectus.
Right.
Equals
us.
Homo domesticus now.
That's probably true.
If you talk to Daniel Vitalis, he'll say that we're Homo domesticus or something.
That's so cool. That's neat. Oh shit. Fuck. There was, like, a part two to my part two. Part two to point two.
Humans, they're galactic humans, and then we are Earth humans. And they're different than Homo sapien. Humans and Homo sapiens are different. I don't know.
It might come back. It might come back.
It's just a boomeranging part, point two.
So, yeah. So, we lived with aliens. Aliens lived with us.
And it was commonly known.
And it was commonly known up in civilization. And then there came to a point when the aliens were, like, warring or interacting so much, like, above everybody, like, above the Homo sapiens, that it was really disrupting the Homo sapien evolution. So,
and you mean, like, literally war, like, there are battles in the sky. Yeah. Like, there are spaceships firing on each other in the stars.
Yeah.
And the humans look up and they see Star Wars happening overhead, and that's distracting from their human lives because they're like, what the fuck? Even though they know what the fuck, because they know what's going on, but they're like, okay, but shiny, big guns.
Exactly. So I don't know if it was Muhammad, but they are called the Muhammad Accord, I think, where he was like, all extraterrestrial interactions have to be done behind the scenes. Like, we can't be interrupting the evolution of these Homo sapiens because they've gotten to this point with our help that they are their own species now. They don't need our help.
So, at this point, are, like, the Anunnaki still considering us as, like, a slave race? Or are we now just... Do we know...
So... After the fall of Atlantis, when everybody was repopulating the Earth, there was discussion whether or not they Homo sapiens should be considered a slave race. I'm pretty sure Enlil wanted them to stay a slave race. Anki wanted them to flourish and be their own
thing. And that was the whole reproduction thing. That was the whole, like, do we give humans the ability? Oh, this is after that. Okay.
Yeah. So the serpent in the garden was the reproduction thing.
Oh, okay.
We want to have control over the reproduction.
Okay. Later.
Later.
After the fall. So this is, like, thousands of years now after the introduction of humans. Now we're talking about the fall of Atlantis. This is a whole different...
Yeah.
Conversation about whether we are now slaves.
Yeah. So since we are many a folk, they were like, we should probably, I think the thing is that Anki was like, just let them be their own race at this point. Enlil, because Enlil just disassociates and goes back to Nibiru.
This is getting a little clogged, this joint. So we can just put it down for a minute.
That's fine. So Enlil goes to Nibiru, becomes like the Zeus character, the capital G god of the First Testament. Anki becomes Poseidon and, like, I don't know, a different type of god. So all of these Anunnaki figureheads get woven into mythology and
deities
and all of these other human brain, Homo sapien brain things
that we are currently told are just stories.
Right.
Because we know now that there is only one God. We'll get to the present.
I remembered part two.
Okay.
I remember. Okay, we figured out what's outside of unity. I don't think we talked about this on the show. I think we talked about this just in person.
Okay.
Do you remember?
Kind of.
Okay. I'll refresh your memory. Okay. Okay. So back to part one, we had unity was this consciousness that was playing with itself. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, what's outside of unity?
Right.
Chaos.
Of course. Yeah.
Chaos is outside of unity.
Yeah.
And everything comes from chaos. What's outside of chaos?
I was going to say, or are there other unities within chaos?
I mean, probably.
Okay, this is getting off on a whole other tangent that I do want to talk about because I, like, you know how I have my whole, like, this is how density works? Mm-hmm. Like, you have your 1D, your 2D. I can explain that again better. I've explained it before, but I, like, drew it out, mm-hmm. and I now, like, understand the 12, how there's, like, some people say there's only 12 souls that exist, mm-hmm. and everybody else is just, like, a fractal of that soul. Mm-hmm. Like, that totally makes sense, mm-hmm. with the way that density works. Mm-hmm. This is getting really off topic, but...
We haven't even gotten into the topic.
We haven't
yet,
even
gotten so it's fine.
Into the top, but it's off topic of the off topic.
It's okay.
I don't think I can explain it now. Like, okay. Yeah, but...
Chaos is outside of unity.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's just another level of density.
Yeah.
So whether there are other... So I think that there are other unities within chaos.
I think so, too.
It's just not for us to know those...
Right.
Those unities.
Not a tangential story that wraps up into not a tangent. So I've been playing this game called No Man's Sky. It's space exploration. Triggering a lot of, like, galactic memories, mm-hmm. which is really weird. Mm-hmm. But, so basically you're a traveler through space and you have a starship and you get to, like, land on planets and scan the flora and fauna and mineral life of it. You can, like, settle on a planet and make a base and, like, build out. There's space stations up in space. And then there's this, like, through storyline about this Atlas path. And Atlas is, like, capital G God.
Okay.
Where he is all-knowing, all-sentient. And then you realize that everything's a simulation. Spoiler alert if anybody wants to play. You realize everything's a simulation and you have to choose to break the simulation or just let it play.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to let it play. And so I get to just whatever. But there's like portals. And then I flew in. You can fly into black holes. And you just, it's a time travel, or it's like a space time travel device. You get, so you get to another place in the galaxy.
Yep, totally.
I've gotten to the point where I've gone into different densities.
Within the game?
Wow. I don't think density is the right word. I'll say reality.
Okay. Just like different realms?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I can like travel to different realms or realities mm-hmm. and different galaxies. But it's like all the same. Mm-hmm. But I just keep thinking about this and like the history, a history of the multiverse is us flying around finding things and like making a base and mining minerals and gold and shit just to go. See,
disclosure is happening.
It really is.
They just are. They're people that are telling us that it's like fictional.
And I don't know if
fictional is not real.
I don't know if it's conscious disclosure either.
Totally.
I think some of us are creating our memories without realizing it. Mm-hmm. Which is, I mean, it's like, it's such a, I can spend hours.
Yeah.
On that game.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much to do and it's so fun.
But well, that whole breaking the real or breaking the simulation piece is really interesting because it reminds me of playing that VR game Superhot. Mm-hmm. There's okay, spoiler alert in this game, but there's this one point where you get to a level and all that's in front of you is a gun.
This is a VR
game. This is a VR headset game on the Oculus. And all that's in front of you is a gun. And there's nobody else, like the rest of the game, there are other people to shoot. But this level, there's nobody else to shoot. So you eventually you realize that you need to shoot yourself. And then so that's like a really intense, especially when you're in a VR situation.
Yeah.
When, you know, you're that first, literally first person shooter. Okay. Trigger warning.
Right.
Fucking. But so and then you shoot yourself and then you break the simulation and then you realize that you're in your room, closet, you're like video game room and you have all of these choices now for which video game you want to choose to play. So it really does come back and it's the whole fractal of it all.
It is.
You know, like the truth is out there.
It really is. Yeah, I really had that game really fucked me up because I was like, okay,
No Man's Sky is super hot.
Super hot.
Yeah.
I really had to go through the, okay, I am not in this game. I am in my body. If I shoot myself, I will not die.
Right.
You know?
Right. You have to have that moment with yourself.
Yeah. And then it was like, well, it's the same. It's me shooting myself now.
Right.
And hit, like me in the game taking off the headset is me. Is it me shooting myself in real life and taking the headset off? Trigger warning. I'm so sorry. These warnings are coming late.
I know. And then, okay, and then I ping over to Inception. Spoiler alert. The movie Inception, where the, like, Leonardo DiCaprio's wife, what's her, I can't remember, she, the French gal. She.
Rachel? No.
No.
Rachel Weiss.
No. She, anyways, Leonardo DiCaprio's wife in the movie has died in real life. Because she thought that she was still in her own head, like in her dreams, and the only way to wake up from her dream was to kill herself. Mm-hmm. So, but she wasn't in the dream. She was in reality. But then the end of the movie, the way that the movie ends, it's like, well, was she in the, maybe she and Leonardo DiCaprio are still in the dream. Like
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to. You know, he's still in the dream and maybe she did wake up and now she woke up without him and is living with their children and having the happy life. And now he's just like in, maybe he's just in his own dream still. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it really starts to fuck you up. Honestly,
it really does.
If you start thinking about it and trying to bend over backwards to make the mental gymnastics work, like, but it does work.
Right. It does work.
If you dig deep enough,
don't try it at home.
Right. Oh my God. Be supportive.
That's not what we're saying.
That's not what we're saying here. Well, although this is all accessible to everybody and it is your birthright to have access to all of these skills and powers and all of these things. You just need to know how to turn it on properly.
We can go to other places without killing ourselves. Let me just say that.
We
have the ability to consciously activate the DNA that we have because we are from Galactic Starseed to be able to jump to these places without...
It doesn't require physical death anymore. Correct.
Mm-hmm. So don't, yeah, don't try astral traveling first.
Right. Lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Go on a guided journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eat a mushroom.
That's unfortunate.
The bottom of that joint.
Yeah.
So, okay. Hold on. Where were we?
We jumped
we were still all over the place.
We
were still recapping a little bit.
We were.
My question was, are humans a slave race at this point?
Yeah.
So we're like...
We are in Muhammad.
We're like Rome. You know, we're in like... We're like past zero BCE.
Yeah.
You know, like we're now in the common era.
Yeah.
Are humans a slave race? No. They have been left to their own devices to evolve as a species on their own, kind of under the guidance of...
How I would
the
say...
The Nakal, you know, or whoever it is. Of ally beings in different spaces.
Okay. I don't... Lots of thoughts.
Yeah.
To the statement that the Nakals are watching us, I would say after Atlantis fell, most of them left. I think the
oh,
thought
right.
was that they, you know what, just let them figure it out. I mean, there were alien races, obviously, helping us. The Nordics were helping the, mm-hmm. you know, there were people. They were
underground
yeah.
or inner
yeah.
earth beings. But I think
where we are in the storyline is that aliens, like all alien business, has to go behind closed doors or whatever. And the Homo sapiens are left to their own devices with the leadership of the Cabal because they have been infiltrating everyone
since Atlantis.
Like pre-Atlantis. So they have gotten to the point of high leadership, and now since it's behind closed doors, they can thrive even more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of where we are.
Okay.
They're obviously good people. Like Jesus Christ comes out. Mm-hmm. He's a superstar. Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Buddha, you know, mm-hmm. like a bunch of other folks mm-hmm. try to come in with the sixth density light, mm-hmm. love. Merlin again.
Comes back to help King
yeah.
Arthur.
Yeah. So all of like there are people who come through, but the Cabal is still consistently able to pervert all of the positive teachings into
totally.
Something that helps their own agenda.
Totally. Which is?
Which is?
Power and control?
Yeah.
Of the planet for
of the
gold.
Planet.
Well, formerly for gold, but now
well,
just.
Well, no, not. I mean, the Draco reptilians that are the
oh,
Cabal don't
right.
really care about the gold.
Right, right,
they
right.
want to feed off of
the loosh
that humans provide. They're like human energy provides them in
right.
when they're in agony.
Right.
So they're trying to, yeah, have the power so then they can eat because they're trapped here on Earth.
Right. Because of the Matrix thing.
Because of the Matrix thing.
Right. Part of the Matrix thing is it traps the Draco reptilians here, so they can't leave anyway.
Right.
Okay, that's right.
Right.
Totally. Thank you.
Are
we all
yeah.
back on the same page now?
Are we all here? I think so. I think we're here. Okay.
So we're going through history. The Cabal is expanding their reach through the Crusades.
I would say like the Dark Ages happened. The Cabal was in power,
mm-hmm.
right? Death and plague and all of that. And then there was like a glimmer of hope in the Renaissance, but that was kind of like fake hope, I think. Because it was like manufactured by, I think the Renaissance was probably manufactured by the Cabal because like the only people that were in power then were like weird, wealthy people. Mm. I don't know. I don't
yeah.
know history enough to actually have any true thought about it. So.
But I mean, it was like heavily influenced by the church.
Yeah.
You know, the people
like
in power.
All, yeah.
Like
when everyone paid for by the church.
Right.
You
like
know?
Patrons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Artists were all paid for by the church. Yeah.
Yeah. So. So, yeah. So basically from that then to about, we're going to just go up to 1900. Because
cool.
he skips. Just think about all of the time periods between then and now where it was like positive and negative. Some things were good and some things were bad. And mm-hmm. mostly things were on a slow trajectory of bad.
Right.
Like slavery in America.
All over the world.
All over the world. Just like wars all over the world. The like push of weird Christianity. But evolved from paganism. But
the consolidation of power to kings.
Exactly.
And, you know, the caste system.
Exactly. So all of we know that of history, just that's what's happened. Slowly.
Well, all that we know, and then a lot more because that they didn't tell us.
Yeah. Okay, but we're going to hop back into around the 1900s. And yeah, like I said earlier, all this stuff was like documented. From documents, historical photographs, and evidence, and first-hand reports.
Yeah, because again, we're getting to 1900, so there's physical, tangible, primary documents. Right. That's so interesting.
Right.
I don't know. That just blows my mind for some reason.
Right. Like, we have tangible documents because there were those tablets that were...
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so hard because civilization has been so... gone through so many cycles. What historical archaeological evidence we have is the only thing that survives.
Right.
So like we obviously miss out so many different.
It's an incomplete picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get into the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Ooh.
I have not
ever touched those.
So the Dead Sea Scrolls are the scrolls that they found in the Dead Sea that encapsulated all of the books of the Bible plus a bunch of other ones that were lost. And it's just really interesting.
Yeah.
I've only dipped my toe in. I can't even talk about it because I don't know.
Not
but
there yet.
It's really interesting.
I'm into it.
So anyway, okay, 1900. We're back. We're in Europe. We're at the Vril Society. This society was created by this woman named Maria. I don't know what her last name is, but her name is Maria. She is this psychic woman from Croatia who was into the... Oh, gosh, this is German. Thule Gesellschaft.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it the Thule Society. This society trained psychics, like... practiced conscious things, taught about things from like Mu and Atlantis. Those types of teachings were taught in this secret society. This woman Maria was super psychic. She learned how to harness her abilities in this Thule Society, and then she was like, I'm gonna go off with these other super hot psychic women and form my own society, and I'm going to call it the Vril Society.
That's so funny.
These women were, like, super cool. They meditated consciousness enough to get contacted by a couple different, like, ET groups. So the first group was the Draco Reptilians in Agartha, and Agartha's the Inner Earth. So they were the first ones to interact with them. The Vril Society was like kind of into it because they were like, ooh, a creature.
Yeah.
But then they sensed the negative agenda behind their mm-hmm. actions. So they mm-hmm. kind of like distanced themselves from the Draco.
Wow.
And then the second group, which the Draco probably didn't like, the second group were the Nordics, and they were the Aryan human type race. They live in fifth density and live in and around Alpha Centauri, and they're the ones that helped the Nordics of
the Vikings
Scandinavia, yeah, that area of the world evolve into what they are today.
Interesting.
So yeah, so like if the Hebrews went to Israel, the Nordics, wherever they were in Atlantis, went and hung out in Scandinavia. Yeah. But they are like super benevolent and super nice and into positivity and love and light. Mm-hmm. So the Vril Society really resonated with them. And so they kind of like hooked on to them. And the Nordics were like, okay, ladies, we are going to give you the blueprints for this super awesome consciousness spaceship that you're going to take like a bunch of people into space and you're going to space travel. They were like, okay, when and where are we getting this info? So they set a date. They go to this place. This woman channels this information. And it's a disc-shaped craft that enables them to move through time and space by traveling to higher densities and moving by thought.
Wow. Interesting.
So psychics are like really powerful if you haven't figured it out. So they were like, the goal was for them to like take a bunch of people and like go out into space. I don't think they got there. I don't think they achieved that goal. But they did achieve some really cool things. But going back to the Thule Society, there were other important players that were also part of that society, including Hitler, Goering, and Himmler, which are those the other people that started the Nazi Party?
I think so.
I don't know enough history to know that, but I'm just conjecturing.
Yeah.
Based on context clues.
We could confirm that with a quick Wikipedia.
We really could, but we're in the middle of this. You can Wikipedia.
Yeah, check our work.
So they're part of the Thule Society, Hitler and friends. And the society was really into the occult. They were into psychic things, learning about the weird things that weren't talked about above ground. And so Hitler was like, oh, I've heard about the Vril women. They seem like they have information that I want. So I'm going to invade their camp and interrogate them.
Totally.
Which is what they did. So when the women were like almost completing the craft is when Hitler came in and interrogated them and got all of this information. This was also the first time that Hitler came in contact with the Draco. Okay. Or I don't think they were like
their first taste of a Draco reptilian.
Yeah. Or however, someone said something about the Draco and then Hitler was like, ooh, I want to know.
Dragon.
Yeah. So after that moment. Okay. Going back. Hitler's invading the Vril. The Vril know people in high places, so they were able to convince Hitler to just like leave them alone. And Hitler was like, I could just invade them whenever I want. It's anyway. Just
a gaggle of girls.
Exactly. So he basically was like, okay, see ya. I got what I needed. I'm going to go now. So after that happened.
Gross.
These,
what a man.
Right.
Sorry. Excuse me, men.
These women respectfully were like, okay, we're out. Peace. So they get into their spaceship and like take off. And literally leave the planet through whatever density, and they have only ever returned in the 70s. Apparently, just the Vril Society just like disappears from the history books because they go. I mean,
they like literally disappear to a different realm.
Come back to share some technology about love and light, and then they're bounced again.
Wow!
So it's just like I don't know. That's probably like the most in-depth we'll get in any of these topics. Yeah. But it's just like so interesting.
It's so interesting. And like, why not?
I know. You know? Why not? Exactly.
Like, do you really think that nobody has found their way off the planet in thousands of years of us being here?
Right.
Even in just like, if we accept the mainstream narrative that we've only been around for whatever, 8,000 years, 10,000 years.
Right.
Like.
Right. I don't know. I think I believe that humans are possible. We could do anything.
Yeah.
So me believing that the Vril Society really just like left. I'm like, I could see that.
I could see it too.
I could see them humming. Like, I know the power of powerful women.
And yeah, totally.
The magic that happens when we come together in like a true sense. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like I could go figure off the planet. To,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
So. I see it. I see it for them. I ship that. Because they're on a ship.
Anyway. I get it.
So, yeah. So, that's when the Nazis first get kind of a taste of, like, the Cabal Draco agenda.
Yeah.
And they really cling to it. And they really just, like, hit it home.
Well, and it's interesting about, like, I know we haven't really talked about the Nazis yet. I don't know how deep we're going to get into it. But the how the Vril had contact with the Nordics. Mm-hmm. And then this whole thing about, like, you know, they're an Aryan race. They're, mm-hmm. you know, white skin, blonde hair. I don't know what color, if they have specific colored eyes or not. But, you know, they have, like, this look. And then the Nazi philosophy is to achieve genetic perfection.
Right.
Is to achieve this Aryan phenotype.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't know where all of the connections connect or anything. I'm just right. like noticing an interesting pattern.
Right. And I'm sure that there's like more information if we really look into yeah. it.
Yeah.
Which I have not done any extra research no. outside. Like, you could totally go on so many rabbit holes from this text alone.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm going to keep it pure for right now.
At least to just get through this.
Yeah, yeah. But, so yeah, so we will be talking about Nazis.
Trigger warning?
Trigger warning. I don't know, y'all.
If you haven't left yet.
I know.
I mean, really.
I know. Safe space, right?
Right.
Okay, so that was like between 1900 and 1940 was when the Vril Society left the planet. 1942, the Nazis perfect anti-gravity flight. They also perfect inter-density travel like the Vril, but they don't perfect anti-gravitic propulsion.
So they can't get off the planet.
Yeah.
But they can travel interdimensionally.
Yeah. They can't, like, move the things.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So
okay.
They're just, like, trying to figure out this tech with the help of the Dracos that are in Antarctica that, like, dove down there after Atlantis or got frozen or whatever happened after Atlantis. They're, like, still Draco ships that are there. The Dracos are helping them. They're, like, using the Pa'atal ruins and the ruins of Atlantis and, like, scrap from their ships to create all of this, like, technology mm-hmm. that they're, like, getting. But the things that they're doing the technology with are, like, wrong. And if you're using conscious tech from the Pa'atal and Atlantis, you can't destroy. It just, like, doesn't work. You're, like, using love and light for destruction, and that's not what love and light is used for. So it's right. going to backfire.
So I was listening to another podcast, the Alphavetic podcast, and I don't remember. Dr. Bear. Dr. Bear is this, like, naturopath, alternative medicine guy who has some very interesting discussion points. And I, like, if this stuff over here resonates with you, you would probably resonate with Alphavetic stuff. But one thing that he mentioned on his podcast recently was that technology is meant to illustrate in an external way the power that we can harness if we go within and learn how to harness it from within. So, like, I think he was specifically talking about radio waves. Yeah, he was talking about radio waves and how when we figured out radio, that was the first time that humanity had ever seen the collapse of space. Because now even though there was a ton of space between us, we could still communicate from, you know, from different places. So, but if you think about that with, like, consciousness technology, telepathy is, like, an easy... Telepathy is supposed to be, like, an easy... Everyone will be telepathic, and that's going to... Like, communication is going to be no problem when we learn how to use consciousness properly, you know? Like...
Well, like, how many of us are telepathic with our friends, and we don't think we're right. telepathic? Like, how many of us, like, pick up our phone, and then our best friend calls us?
Right.
Or
with your kids,
with
you know?
Your kid, yeah, exactly. How many moms have children that haven't developed their speech yet but know exactly right. what they want?
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm telepathic with my dog.
Right.
You
totally,
know?
Totally.
So, like, it's coming there. Online. Yeah. There's definitely superpowers that are coming online.
Right. So, and then it's that whole, his, Dr. Bear's whole topic about that. Like, it's interesting that the Nazis could never quite figure out how to make anything work just right mm-hmm. because they're using it for this external dissonant, you know, low vibe purpose.
Yeah. Service to self mm-hmm. purpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically all of 1940, the Nazis are trying to develop this technology.
Mm-hmm. If only Indiana Jones could really get in their way.
Dude, Indiana Jones kind of touches on aliens because the third one, right?
The first one is the Ark of the Covenant one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it goes Ark of the Covenant, so. Temple of Doom,
yeah,
and then the dad, and Sean Connery, shows up, and it's that one. The where they have to, like, which is all, no, that was another consciousness one.
Yeah, and then they the Shia LaBeouf one, the newest one.
Yeah, that Crystal Skull.
Crystal Skull, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to watch Indiana Jones.
Dude, Indiana Jones.
I love Indiana Jones.
That's another George Lucas thing. I know, George Lucas is so woke.
I love George Lucas. I love George Lucas. And then they were like, no, George Lucas, you are too good. You are triggering too many people for the positive. We're going to take your fucking stories and bastardize it.
Right.
Change it to our agenda and make a shit ton of money while you don't make any money.
Well, that's the same thing with Marvel. Like, how many keys are in all of the Marvel movies?
Totally.
But it's just bastardized and perverted with like giant explosions and what is going to get people's butts in the seats, you know? Although, that being said, I've not been a Spider-Man person. I'm a Doctor Strange person, and I didn't know that Doctor Strange was in the new Spider-Man movie, mm-hmm. so now I really want to see the new Spider-Man movie. And there's a new Doctor Strange movie coming out.
Is George Lucas still alive?
Yeah.
He is? Okay. Just making sure.
I think so.
I want to talk to him.
Okay.
I just want to be like, yo, George, we got to chit-chat.
Yeah.
We got to talk about some stuff.
Let's do it.
That would be great.
We can figure that out.
We could. 6 degrees of George Lucas. Ready? Right. Community, go.
Listen to these 3 episodes. This is where we're at. We want to talk to you about them.
Yeah. Oh, so cool. So, but yeah. Okay, so the Nazis are learning about anti-gravity. Meanwhile, over in the United States.
And I'm sorry, the Nazis again are in Antarctica. And are they off the planet at this point? Or they're just in Antarctica and, like, maybe South America or something.
Well, 1942. When did World War II start?
In the third. I think it, like, ended in the 45. I don't remember.
Hey, Siri.
She doesn't want to tell you. She's like, come on. She's too busy listening to what we're saying to send it all back.
When was World War II? September. Whoa. Really? September 1st, 1939 to September 2nd, 1945.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's insane.
That's weird.
But
is that weird?
The years look
okay.
Right,
39 to 45. Okay.
I thought you were gonna be like, we're in this alternate Mandela effect universe, and dates are completely
crazy.
No,
I had no idea. But the September 1st and 2nd tripped me up.
Totally, totally, totally.
Okay, yeah. So like their peak Nazi.
Yeah.
In 1942.
Right. Okay.
So they're in Germany, being in the war
in Europe.
And then there's a base in Antarctica that are hanging out with the Draco, developing
their technology.
Anti-gravity tech. Over in LA, aliens are also happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So one night in LA, 1942, there's a date.
I think it might have also been September.
I think so, too.
Weird.
I don't know. I'm not going to go look for it. Y'all can read the text and we can talk about it.
This family
heard these like really loud booms and like saw this white light off in the distance doing some crazy movement. And they were like, okay, what the fuck is that? And then all of a sudden this like ship comes into their airspace and then guns or missiles or whatever shooting at alien UFO. So there's like actual Star Wars happening in the sky in LA.
In 1942. So this is like low tech.
Yeah. So this family is like, holy shit, this is crazy. And they're watching it.
For like hours.
And then they're like, okay, I'm going to go to bed now.
Weird.
So that's weird. And then they realize nobody else really heard about it, saw it. It was, like, really low-key. There was something written about it in the newspaper, but, like, other than that, it was like a very low key event.
Right. So weird.
Which, I mean, Seth says that that is a point to like mind control, like mass mind control.
Right.
Where it's like you're suppressing consciousness.
Yeah.
Which is technology or whatever.
Yeah. Well, in the Matrix, because at this point, the Matrix would be alive and well.
Right. So people are getting manipulated, but this guy who is in the military is watching this thing and is like, oh my gosh, aliens are real. Okay, that gets embedded in his brain. Homie goes into the Navy or the military or whatever, gets up into the ranks, becomes a general in the military. He has a voice of opinion. They're like, someone through the grapevine, through the military. This is where I forgot to read, so it gets a little dicey on the things. But someone through the grapevine hears about the Nazis learning about gravity, anti-gravity tech. The people in the military are like, that doesn't seem like it's real. But this guy is like, it is real. And there were a couple other people in the military who also witnessed that event who could corroborate this other guy who was like, no, this is real. This is real. Mm-hmm. So then this group of people become like the Space Force of 1942. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Secret space program.
Yeah. And so secret space program. And they start believing about the alien tech that the Nazis are doing. This is where things get fuzzy. The Nazis realize that. Okay. So I do remember this. The Nazis figure out anti-gravity, but they're using combustible weapons. Mm-hmm. So if you are an anti-gravity machine floating above the planet and you use a combustible weapon, you're gonna get shot. Like your vessel is gonna get shot because backwards. Of the propulsion from the combustion.
Okay.
So they can never actually figure out how to get their prototype into reality. So they're like, okay, I guess we can't figure this out, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm good. So a faction of them go follow the Dracos, I don't know, get tech using their anti-interdensity tech, get off the planet Earth. They lose the war, clearly.
The World War.
The World War. Or, the Allies won, apparently. But so there's like a bunch of Nazis that like know about this science that are like still on planet Earth. So like Russia and the U.S. gobble up these Nazi scientists to put into their own science programs. This is Operation Paperclip.
Which is probably a trigger word.
Probably. But look it up. I think you can look it up anyway. So now we have all of these Nazi scientists in our science programs who have like super studied space and maybe not space, but like
density
and
waveform,
weird tech and occult stuff and all of this.
Fringe science.
Yeah. So they start, they start NASA to go into space. The government also starts like the secret space programs. Mm-hmm. And then basically the government just goes like full on space and then cover up space.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's like misinformation, but information through, I think there's space program. I mean, the CIA openly talks about needing space people.
Yeah. I think there's got it. Like, why would they actively ignore space? Like, for the $700 billion military budget or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
Like, what is there on Earth at this point to spend that much money on?
I know.
Like, why other wouldn't they be going into space or other dimension? Like, I don't know. I feel like, of course, like, hasn't NASA been, like, disbanded? Or something or downgraded or debudgeted
whatever. I'm in NASA. I think they were defunded, but then Donald Trump created Space Force.
Right. Like, I feel like the public narrative of us not doing a lot in space. Yeah, maybe they're trying to pass it on to Elon Musk or something.
I think that probably.
But
I
like,
think he's an alien.
There's no way the government is not involved in what's going on in space.
Right.
You know, even if it's just exploration and how do we get to Mars? You know, even if it's just that as shallow as that. Or how do we get to Saturn?
Or, I mean, okay, here's a question. Have we even left Earth?
Right.
Have we even gone to the moon?
I don't know. So
I don't know either. Okay, yeah. So Operation Paperclip, we get Nazi scientists. They learn about, they integrate space. They also integrate the cabal into America. So this is when America starts seeing influence from the cabal. Again, we are reading a text. We are, this is what we're reading.
It just gets tricky because, you know, you just don't want to say anything. Whatever.
Whatever. Oh, ugh, fuck it. Who cares? At this point, we're not even saying anything that nobody else has said on the internet.
Right.
Whatever. I think this is us stepping into our, is this us stepping into our true selves? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So then there's space programs within the NASA. And the government is also trying to suppress disclosure because that would just like
freak everybody out.
But there's like active UFO. That's what.
Well, when did Roswell happen?
In 1947.
Okay, so like right around when all of this is happening. Meanwhile, I guess, okay, so yeah, so in the 50s, if NASA is now being installed, so Americans are watching us put people in space, they're watching the Russians put the first astronaut to travel around in a whatever spaceship, and now there's like the race to the moon, and then Kennedy comes into power.
Okay, Eisenhower knew all about it.
Okay.
But he was the last one to be in the know.
And he was in the 50s.
Yeah, 1955.
Okay.
Okay, that's what it says.
Oh, yeah, and then there was a... Oh,
I should have read this. I'm sorry, everybody.
They have a clip of Dwight Eisenhower's farewell speech when he leaves office, where he's, like, clearly warning the I listened to part of it. He's, like, warning the American people about, like, what could be coming from the skies or something. Like, he used veiled, yet, if you know what he's talking about, like, obvious language.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, there's just a YouTube clip of his speech.
Okay, so NASA being a smokescreen was something for the government to be able to, like, super pump money into for research and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
See, exactly.
And it was like under the complete control of the cabal. So like super nefarious things. And then the Cold War happened. I didn't read any of this.
That's okay.
Okay, I mean, I don't really think any of this is really that important.
Yeah, I don't think we have to get into the details even. Like,
it's mostly the fact that, like, because we gathered a bunch of Nazi scientists, the cabal infiltrated the United States. It's like starting to infiltrate the power dynamic.
High politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like a bunch of like
and craft the narrative like beginning to be like, no, this is, you know, we're pumping all this money into NASA in order to do these things. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, half of it is going to these secret space programs.
Yeah. And doing really like weird testing things.
Yeah.
Like these secret space programs were like not cool. They were not good. And which is where Corey Good comes in.
Right.
And so between 1950 and the 90s, the secret space programs were doing a bunch of different programs.
Right. Which is also when you look at numbers of abductions, they're like really high during this time period.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's crazy. But so one of the programs that we wanted to bring up was, I want to just read, it's okay, 20 and back. It was called the 20 and back process. It's so weird. Okay, this it was a secret space program where civilians were recruited or abducted and went through the 20 and back process. And it just like shows how crazy the technology of these groups are, because I mean, this is fucking weird. A member of the 20 and back program entered into service and worked into their field within a SSP secret space program for 20 years. Then they were sent back into time to the point at which they had been recruited or abducted and had their physical age regressed 20 years. They were then blank slated, all memory of their 20 years in space wiped from their mind. How fucked up
Dang.
Is that? Isn't that like Body Snatchers?
Right.
That sounds like the invasion of Body Snatchers.
Or even Men in Black.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. So whether or not these exist, people.
Well, oh, go ahead.
People have like memories that have come through the blank slating mm-hmm. to recount their times in these programs.
Right. I think it said like if the person went through an additional trauma like in their life, it like reset some of that. And so the memories came back.
Yeah. So there was one guy, Corey Good, who remembered his time in the 20 and back program. And so there's like videos and a clip that you can watch, but basically I'm pretty sure he did it like 3 or 4 times.
I think it was 3. Yeah.
That's 60 years.
Right.
Of going forward and back, forward and back, forward and back.
Yeah.
And I think he was recruited when, and these recruits were young.
Young.
Like teenager young.
Yeah.
So he was recruited when he was like 19 or 16 or something. And did it. And then was, so if they were recruited, they were promised money, hot, like a fast track to a good job.
Mm-hmm. They'd be set like, up for life.
Yeah, they'd be set up for life, which is not what Corey Good got. He was just dumped at back where he was to fend for himself.
Mind wiped,
fucked up, probably on a bunch of fucking drugs.
Yeah. Damn.
Hormone, like weird things that we can't even think about. Because,
right. And he talks about his experiences. Like you can, I've heard his name before around like the esoteric community and like the ET community.
At the age of 6.
I was going to say, I thought it was like young, young. There was
the
a
lab. Okay. MILAB program. Why does that sound like Men in Black? MIB?
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. And that, oh, and they also, okay, let me just read this because this is pretty good and it's highlighted. 1976. At the age of 6, Corey Good was recruited into the secret world through one of the many MILAB programs. MILAB is a term coined for the military abduction of a person who is indoctrinated and trained for any number of military black ops programs. His abilities as an intuitive empath were visible to other IEs, intuitive empaths, already in the program, whose job was to spot others like them and single them out for recruitment. Standardized tests in school are another way that they spotted these kids. So, yeah. So, like, not only were there alien programs, there was, like, psychic programs. I mean, that's what Men Who Stare at Goats is. And it's, I mean, we all know that in the 60s, there were people trying to make psychic warfare happen.
Right.
So, I mean, we don't, may not all know that, but some of us know that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
All of these, like, crazy traumas
mm-hmm.
messed him up. So he had, like, schizophrenia when he came back. He had.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Whole bunch of, like, wrong things happen. And he had to like regress memory to talk about it and to remember it all.
Mm-hmm. But.
And now he's like trying to get better. I mean, he's mentally getting better and leading the Sphere group.
Sphere Being Alliance?
Yeah. Where they're, it's like an alliance between intergalactic aliens.
Sphere beings.
Sphere beings and humans, mm-hmm, that are like positive, mm-hmm, leaning. Mm-hmm. Trying to work against the cabal that has been infiltrating for hundreds,
yeah,
of years.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's kind of where we are now. We're just kind of like in the midst of Star Wars behind closed doors. That's a bar. Mm-hmm. But oh yeah, and then the Maya are like trying to also like help us out in South America. They're cute.
I remember that part. They were saying because they figured out how to get the cabal off of their home planet, mm-hmm, they're now here to like help us do the same. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is it's happening.
It's happening. There, I mean, I can't think of his name, but I can think of one person that I know from South America, pretty sure where the Maya are, that has a crystal skull. What's Amaranta's? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Miguel, maybe? I don't remember.
But he has a crystal skull, but he's, like, trying to raise consciousness.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so that brings us up, basically, to present time.
I think so. I mean, yeah. Basically, up until the 90s, they were doing this. I think the program ended in the 90s.
Did we say what happened to the Nazis?
The Nazis are on the moon or something. I don't know. The Nazis
are
left.
They still in Antarctica? Or are they not?
They
on
might
Antarctica?
Have a. I think they might have a. I think they might have a base in Antarctica.
Yeah.
I also, you know, I think there's a port. You know, okay. This is me outside of the text. Riley, mm-hmm, outside of the text talking, mm-hmm, about Antarctica. Mm-hmm. I think there's like a portal in Antarctica,
for sure,
that like goes to the moon or somewhere else. That most people who are involved maybe in the cabal know about, mm-hmm, and that information is slowly getting leaked out to, mm-hmm, people who are fighting the cabal. So I think there's some funny business happening in Antarctica.
Oh, you think? Just a little.
Just a little. But yeah, so aliens, or like space programs, I think probably ended in the 90s. I think there was.
Ended.
Maybe that one ended in the 90s. But basically, all up until now, it's been a slow showing of like who really is what going on.
What?
There's just been slow disclosure.
Yeah.
There's we have come to a point in our world where we can't, especially with technology, we can't, nothing is behind closed doors anymore.
Right.
And with the help of the internet and like, I think social media was like a good thing and then it turned into a bad thing. But, mm-hmm, I don't know.
Well, and even like the dark web and, mm-hmm, like things that the hackers have access to, you know, like if you know how to hack, if you're a good hacker, you can get into a government system, no problem.
And the government hires those hackers.
Right.
So
literally information is available to anybody who is able to access it.
Exactly. And like WikiLeaks.
Right.
And like the Information Act.
Right.
And
people just don't trust their leadership right now.
Exactly. And I mean, like, we look around, especially on April 16th, 15th, 2022. It's like the world is truly crumbling.
Right.
Like, it's not a metaphor anymore.
Right.
It's like things are coming out that I didn't really ever think would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all of this needs to come out.
Yeah.
So we can heal it. Like,
of course.
To get back to fucking homeostasis and right. to heal our mother wound, because right. she fucking deserves it.
Right.
And she's ascending also. And right. we're ascending.
And we were put here to help her ascend.
Exactly.
I mean, ultimately, the Pa'atal seeded all of this stuff so that some creature like us, who has the ability to access both the third density and the seventh density at the same time, can help stitch Gaia back towards unity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's why it's important.
Wow. Okay. So that's how we got here. That's how we, in this timeline, in this corner of this multiverse, got to this point in time.
Yep. Exactly. And there's
allegedly. But still, doesn't it feel like it all kind of just makes sense? And
yeah,
it connects the dots in a way that none of the history books have been able to properly do, at least for me. You know, yeah. like, it's never satisfied my mental. There's been, you know, clear holes, and this just makes sense. In the fractal of it all, there's like clear patterns that repeat even in our microcosm of time.
Exactly.
That have that jive with what the ancient text and remembered memories
right.
say.
And you can see the the mask that I'm going to keep calling it the cabal because it's just easier.
And we're here.
That the cabal is putting forward to try to take control of the narrative.
Right.
And you can see the loosening of the grip because they cannot keep it. There's too many people talking out against it right. for them to keep censoring it. And the more they censor, the more it's shown.
Right.
You know, like right. the more they what keep something down. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in archaeology, if you have these memories that you're like, I don't understand what's going on. If you have like a dream to go some random place and you've like always wanted to do that.
Totally.
Go follow that want and like learn those codes and help us fucking ascend. Because totally. At this point, anything's possible.
Right.
Nothing's real and anything's possible.
Totally.
Like, where I am in my reality, I'm like looking at the walls and I'm like, you're not real.
Right.
You know, like you're just manifestation of light.
Right.
That's I'm perceiving through my eyeballs. That's being processed through my brain.
Right.
Through a headset.
Right.
You know, like, and to some people that might be like, whoa, she's lost it.
Right.
But I'm like, no, the possibilities, the things that I can do with this wall.
Right.
Is endless. I can keep it, I can change it, I can paint it, I can put up random shit on it.
Yeah, it's very much like I am a soul in a body and not my body. Like, I am my body, you know. Of course I am my body, but I can change my body is a vessel of this reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you can change the wall, even if changing the wall is like literally getting a sledgehammer and busting through it, that is quite literally changing reality.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And I feel like sometimes I get lost in this whole idea of like, oh, it's going to be like I'm going to have superpowers and I'm going to be able to like lift my hands like Doctor Strange and like move things around. And it's like, no, you can also just change the wall by busting it open and learning carpentry and like changing the wall.
Yeah.
Or painting it.
Yeah.
Or like putting a fucking pretty hangy thing on it. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. I don't know.
But of course, like, those things are possible
right.
and available to us. We just, I guess it's on us. Like, we get to learn it. Mm-hmm. We get to be the ones to bring it to the plane, mm-hmm. you know?
And I mean, going back to what Unity wants to experience everything. All of life.
Right.
So just sitting, staring at the wall, saying, I would have liked to paint the wall. You're not experienced, or like,
right.
No, or even on like your iPad, if you're doing like an interior design app, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm going to change the wall on my iPad. You're like almost there.
Right.
But it's go, still conceptual. You have to keep doing it. That's like step one. And then step two is like touching it with your 3D hands because we're in the 3D.
Exactly.
We manifested here.
Exactly.
Not up sixth, seventh density, which sounds like a reprieve, but I don't know. Doesn't really sound like something I want to go to forever. Maybe sounds cool. I mean,
they say that it gets boring. They say that that's why Unity got bored, is because when everything's perfect, like, well, then what's the point?
Exactly.
But when you fall into a thick density like the third, then you have to crawl your way back out. Mm-hmm. You know,
you have to learn the like craft to do the thing,
right? Ugh. And I mean, ultimately, the whole reason that Seth Lyon brought all this knowledge together in this book was to talk about trauma. Mm-hmm. And then the last chapter of it, he really does go into trauma and kind of examines how all of what he has said, you mm-hmm. know, like ended up there. And I guess we kind of been doing it all along, but I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I mean, trauma is emotional buildup in your psychic awareness that mm-hmm. manifests in to your body.
Right.
So in order to move that pain point through your body, you have to figure out what happened to the pain, like what happened to get to the pain point. Mm-hmm. And doing that, you have to go outside of yourself to see, okay, I hurt my back. What did I do to hurt my back? I moved funny. Okay. Did I sit down and like let myself heal, or I'm just going back to that back problem I had?
Yeah.
Or do I muscle through it because we have to get this done and I'm tired and we just gotta like get it done because we gotta get it done. I'm just gonna muscle through it. It's fine.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
Okay. If I went through the sitting down and letting myself breathe and like look inward and like slow down and feel my body, see if I can re-put my hip back into place
and just be hurt for a minute
exactly, and just like sit with the pain. Mm-hmm. And sitting with the pain allows me to move through the pain because mm-hmm. I'm not
ignoring it.
There's not something else telling me to like shut it down, you know. I think there's like that
11
other voice. Oh, nice. That voice.
Oh, thing? Oh, no, it's so good.
The voice of like, just go, just go, just go.
Yeah.
I think that stressful voice makes it even harder to move through.
Totally.
So if you can just sit with it, breathe. I'm okay. I'm alive. My back hurts. Let's figure it out. Taking the time for myself, which wasn't a whole day. It was 3 minutes mm-hmm, where mm-hmm. I was just sitting. I'm like, okay, I need to sit down. I just need to figure this out. And then I got up and I was like hobbling around and it hurt. But I was like, I healed so much faster.
Yeah.
Than if I would have been like, whatever. Let me just like muscle through this and move the table.
Yeah. Take an ibuprofen.
And yeah, put some CBD, just like slab a Band-Aid, you know.
Yeah.
And I would have been hurt for so much longer. So the point of all of that is like you want to move through the pain mm-hmm. and like sit with the pain. And if you had a traumatic, I mean, that was like a physical traumatic experience.
Yeah.
But if you had like an emotional, psychological trauma experience, like sitting with it, figuring out what happened, what my role was in it, which I mean, if it's inner child work, it's usually you are not supposed to be in charge of that emotion at that point mm-hmm. in your life. Mm-hmm. But it's like you just got to like sit and figure it out outside of like your experience of it.
Yeah. So I've been doing a lot of like learning about energy centers. Honestly, the last several years, but recently it's been I've just been thinking about, so like you have your root energy center, it's red, it's like your physicality, it's your survival. It's like if you don't have food, water, shelter, you're not going to survive. So like that's what the root center deals with. Your sacral center, which is the next one up, is orange. It's creative energy, but it's also like ancestral shit. You know, that's where like your ancestral shit lives. And then you go into your and emotions, like emotional traumas, right? And then you go into I think sacral is the emotions, and then in the solar plexus is like your ancestral
where are the solar plexus?
It's here. Okay.
It's your diaphragm, like, or like under your diaphragm.
Yeah, kind of like the where your rib cage comes to like a point.
Okay, thank you.
For me,
I've never wanted to ask someone because everyone seems to go, "Oh yeah,
yeah." Solar plexus is like here. I mean, if you're talking human design, it's actually off to the left, like over your left kidney. But in like the seven center energy center,
yeah,
it's above your sacral, so like right here in your stomach.
Okay,
but I think you're. I'm not exactly sure how it all breaks down. Okay, we're still processing. We're still thinking about it. But the point being, if you are stuck and you can't, if you're worried about money, if you're worried about where you're going to pay your bills, or if your body is broken and you're sick, maybe you're chronically ill. Like, if you are stuck in true root center things, you are never going to be able to access the sacral or solar plexus traumas to heal those. So, like, you have to be able to deal with whatever is like root center, the big thing first, before you're even going to ever be able to access anything else. So like you need to go, and they say like you need unity consciousness, which begins at the heart level. So it's like you need to be able to access your own heart chakra before you can really play with all three of those levels and like deal with those three levels of like human being trauma on from physical to, and like meaning like where you're living in your actual real life situation, to your emotional things, to your epigenetic or ancestral traumas that you have. Like all of these things are major things that we need to heal and deal with in order to be our most like aligned and authentic selves. But you can't even access all of them when you're dealing with
survival.
Or if you get your survival figured out, you know, maybe you can't access your ancestral stuff because you have emotional blocks that you need to deal with first. You know, there's like different levels to it.
I totally resonate with that.
Right?
I'm like, I feel like I definitely had to figure out, like, you really can't, you have no space for anything else if you're trying to figure out where you're living or what your job situation, or like how you're going to make money, or like how to live in the 3D space.
Pay your bills.
Yeah.
Take care of your kids. Yeah.
It's really hard. You like
literally can't. There's no room for anything else.
Exactly. But like once you kind of, and which I think a lot of us on the obviously on the Homo sapien level is currently learning how, like, that's where you start.
Right.
I mean, heart and then root. Or I mean, I think you start at root, and then
When you're in the root, you can look around and deal with what is in the root, and then heal up to orange, and then heal up to yellow, and then get up to green, which is heart.
Yeah.
And then at green, you now have this like higher awareness to access all of it.
Right. So. Which, up until now, also, we have all been operating in root.
Right.
We have all been trying to figure out how to survive.
Right.
Because of the cabal agenda, we have been kept down. I have been trying to figure out what things I want to say and if it matters, but I feel it in my throat when I don't say it.
So
the thing I'm working on right now is like actually saying it. Because of the cabal agenda, we have been kept down as human beings to stay in our root energy space and stay in survival, because that is where our reptilian brain lives.
That's the word I was looking for before. Reptilian. This was like minutes ago. Sorry, I don't even remember the context.
But yeah, that's where our reptilian brain lives. That's where we are in service to self because of survival, because we need to keep our lineage going for survival, for the memory of our DNA, for like all of, like, that's the reason why we need to survive, is to keep our lineage going from like that what it is. So to stay there is to stay unconscious and to stay unaware and easily manipulatable. Mm-hmm. Malleable?
Sure.
Sure. So. Totally.
And also, yeah. Like, we're speaking about this also coming from a place of rolling around in our own traumas.
Yeah.
Like, this last friggin' Aries season has been a workout.
Yeah.
An exercise in processing trauma. Yeah. In a great way. Like, it hurts and it's been tricky, but it's ultimately for the better, you know?
It is.
And that's what the whole thing is. Like, it's uncomfortable and you have to move through the pain in order to heal.
And honestly, having a podcast and being in business with your sister is
it's
just
really helpful.
Well, it's helpful, but it's also like you are looking, like you have to work on those internal trauma that you had when you were a kid.
Totally.
And like, you know, and it comes up and it's like, okay, I repair it myself all the time because I'm like, this is not anything that we had power over.
Right.
And the reason that she did this was not because she hated me. It's because she wanted to do something else. And that's her energy. And she didn't understand it. And it's, you know.
Right.
Like, it is what it is.
Right.
And.
Exactly.
I could be mad and be a sister and be petty and, you know, about it. Or I could just be like, you know what? None of us had the emotional maturity to be able to understand what the fuck was going on.
Right.
So we all were just in survival mode.
In survival mode.
And that's what we're healing is survival mode.
Right.
And it's like nobody's fault.
Right.
Because we're all trying to deal with it.
And I think we talked about this in the Outlander episode, but it's like quite literally up until now in history that we have been able to get out of survival mode because our food is taken care of. We can drive to the grocery store.
Right.
We have a roof over our heads. Mm-hmm. Most of us have at least a week's worth of groceries. You know, we know that we can eat today, you know.
And there are enough resources in this fucking world that nobody has to go without anything.
Right.
And to have the reality that we have and to keep doing things that don't help our own people actually infuriates me.
It's quite disgusting.
And the narrative is meant to keep you in scarcity mindset, to scare you into submission,
hoarding things that you don't need to hold on to.
And we live in a place where there is abundance. We actually live in a space of abundance. And to share abundance is to get abundance. So.
Yeah, so I'm going to go tell Elon Musk that he doesn't need to buy Twitter. He can just solve homelessness. I think I saw that on Instagram today. I'm not going to take credit for that.
It's like, it doesn't even cost that much.
Right. Right.
I'm not going to get into it, but it doesn't even cost that much.
Right.
To save the world.
Right. No,
it's
truly.
Just not cost. It just doesn't feed them back. It doesn't give them money back. Which is not even true.
Right.
That's not even true.
Right.
If you help the people will help you, motherfucker.
Right.
Fuck off.
Right.
I just don't get it. It just seems, this is like going off in so many different things, but it just seems that if you treat people nice, it comes back to you.
Right.
And so to treat your employees poor boggles my mind. Is it really a now perspective to treat your employees correctly? Is it?
Right.
Yeah. I guess. If we go back into the histories of the multiverse,
we're only just now saying that it's not okay to stare at my boobs while at work, you know? Like,
yes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we've been, for less than 100 years, women have been, like, at a equal place that as men.
Yeah.
At, you know, like, we are at this place where we're now just having to say this. Like, you don't get to hoard your wealth.
It's so
when
stupid.
People are dying. What was Amber Khan saying? That there's children in Yemen eating their own hands because they don't have food?
Yeah. So, yeah. So there's like real traumas in this world that are being healed and that we need to heal. And like we come at this from a super American perspective also.
Yes, 100%.
And that we...
recognizing our privilege.
Yeah. And because we are privileged, we get to heal these things.
Right.
And thus healing other things.
Right.
Like us having this conversation about treating employees correctly because we've healed traumas or whatever.
Because we've been employees who have been mistreated.
Exactly.
And now we're going to say something about it and change the game.
Exactly. And we're going to be employers.
Yeah.
That provide a positive workplace.
Right.
Like we are small business owners.
Right.
Multiple times.
Right. I know.
So it's like we now are the people to provide the jobs.
Right.
That are going to be fucking badass and y'all are going to be taken care of. And if we have to charge more because we have to treat our employees right.
Yeah.
I would pay more
right.
for a company that would treat their employees right.
Right. Exactly.
Been thinking about pricing a lot and with Fuka and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, we got to like price what we're worth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And at that pop-up, at that vintage store, $100 mm-hmm. vintage tees.
Right.
$100 okay. vintage tees.
We were in Tacoma last weekend, and we went to a pop-up shop in, I don't know, downtown Tacoma that was a vintage tee, like vintage
awesome.
Clothing.
Vintage, it was a Tacoma Sunday
Festival.
Market.
Festival, yeah, Sunday Market, there you go. But it was all like, yeah, it was 90% vintage stuff.
Yeah, vintage vendors.
Sneakerheads.
Yeah.
Couple jewelry
really
vendors
cool
and like you know makers.
Super cool.
Super
but the
cool.
I just always marvel at these underground markets
mm-hmm.
where it's like this t-shirt because like I understand the artistry that goes into this t-shirt
mm-hmm.
that has been around for 40 years, probably has been on your uncle's back for like 10 of those years
right.
and then stuffed into been for 30 of those years
right.
and then coming back out and it's like single stitch. There's like things that make vintage pieces expensive
mm-hmm.
but to an untrained eye it's a ratty old t-shirt that has like weed jargon on it
right
you know
right
but those are like $100
right right
so it's like money is available
money
please
yeah
$2,000 for one post on a social media, so
mm-hmm.
social media person.
Yeah, I saw, I'm part of a freelancing females group on Facebook, and one of the gals was saying that she charged her clients for one post a day, $2,000 a month. No, $2,000 a post.
A post.
$2,000 a post.
I was watching Selling Sunset yesterday,
mm-hmm.
the stupid Netflix reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
These women, these supermodels, are selling these luxury Hills in LA homes for like $45 million. They're
right.
getting like $200,000 commission.
Right.
Over $1 million commission. I'm
right.
like, if they can do that, I can do that.
Right.
In my own little way.
Right.
I don't know how we got here. But
trauma,
healing trauma. There's enough resources for everybody.
Yeah.
We just need to get the powers that be out of it.
And us healing our trauma
Thank
helps
you.
To make space for other people to heal their trauma.
Exactly. Trauma. Anything else?
I don't think so.
That was an abrupt end. But
I know.
Well, we're going to talk about we're going to have a discussion in a
yeah.
couple weeks. What I hope you guys come.
Yeah, we'll do it on Instagram Live.
Yeah.
We talked about this before.
It'll be a couple weeks time, so there will be enough advertisements on Instagram for you to write it in your calendar. And I hope you join us.
Yeah.
Because I really do want to hear what you have to say.
Me too.
We really briefed through chapter 6. Like, yeah. Super brief.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, American politics.
Yeah.
And stuff, but...
Yeah. And then chapter 7 and the rest of it is, like, trauma healing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you feel inclined to read the rest of it. Great. I mean, honestly, this is not a novel.
No.
It's 6 pages... Maybe
I think Medium even gives you like a read time for each one. And it's maybe the longest one was 15-17 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it does take a while to actually read it because you are like
the concepts
thinking
are wild.
And connecting things and whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean to say that it's not 400 page textbook.
Yeah. It's very short in comparison. So check it out. Read it. Come back to us. Have a discussion. We'll have some. I don't know, notes. I'm really promising things we haven't talked about. So,
See you then.
We're taking a break.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take a break after 420. Happy 420 coming up, you guys.
Happy 420. Check us out at Take Root Dispo Training if you want to watch our
420 shenanigans.
Fun. And then we're taking the last week in April off.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know. I would do the live last week of April though, if you wanted to.
I want to give them time.
Okay.
I want to give them time. I want to not have to do anything that week because I already planned on.
That is totally fine. I am fine with not doing anything that week.
Okay, we'll just watch. Just check out her Instagram.
Yeah, come on.
We don't know right now. bye.
Thanks
for listening.
I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Tell us if you're not or if you are or anything. Tell us all your thoughts. See you next time in a couple weeks. Bye. We love you. Visit our website, chronicgals.com, for show notes of current and past episodes.
Follow us on Instagram at chronicgals_podcast to check out what crazy things we're up to.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch the video versions of these episodes. And make sure you hit the like button and the notification button to get notified when we post a new video.
Rate, review, and share our hilarious podcast. You didn't do the thing with me.
Oh, sorry.
Hilarious. Because the best recommendation is from people you trust.
See ya.
Bye.